Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord and Savior, we are so thankful, Lord, that you allowed us to come, Father. Place that desire in our hearts to be here. We're so appreciative, Father. We know without you, Lord, we wouldn't have a desire to serve you and to come and to gather. But Lord, it's your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray, Father, as we've gathered here, that you would just bless each and every one. Lord, just may our hearts and our minds be clear, clean, Father. Open ground for your word to come and to settle into. Reveal it to us, Lord. Whatever you have for us, you know, Lord, and you know what we need. So, Father, we just yield to you tonight. Bless these few songs, Father, you've laid on my heart. Father, would just allow us to be of one mind and one accord, Lord. We look to you now, Lord, Father, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise his name. Amen. Turn with me in our capstone books with me. Page 61, I have found the way. Hallelujah. I have found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory land. And the road is bright, for Jesus is the light, and I hold his guiding hand. Oh, I have found the way. I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way. I will never fear, for Jesus is so near. I will bravely meet the foe.
Page 536. Amen. It's manifesting time. Yes. Truly it is, saints. Amen.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly come, sweeping over the mountains, over the hills he run. I long to hear his voice. I long time, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen. redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. The grapes are yours and mine, little foxes foil the vine, for the vineyard blossoms forth her harvest time. Keep your eyes on things above, don't look at me or you. See that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, it's manifesting time, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. In the cleft of the rock, in the secret place so high, till the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Oh, in that mountain place, a sweet smell's coming through. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, it's manifesting time, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view.
Hallelujah. Manifesting time, yes, saints. Amen. Praise his name. Back in our capstone books on page 78. We're camping in Canaan's land. Hallelujah. What a joyous time.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged the land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across the desert sands. But I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow weary. I'm camping, oh, I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, hallelujah. Every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, I've reached the land of promise with its scenes of glory. My journey ended in a place so lovely and so grand. I've been led by Jesus to this blessed land of story. I'm camping, wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found a land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Hallelujah. Camping in Canaan. All the promised land. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up? Feeling so much better. Hallelujah.
Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Praise his holy name. I may have something on your heart you'd like to take before him. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, would you like to take requests?
Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing. Lord, what an honor and privilege it is, Lord, to be all together. Lord, with thy sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, amongst us. Lord, such a blessed people, Lord, we ought to be so thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, as we stand here tonight, Lord, a people with many needs. Lord, you know all about each and every need and every hand that was raised. Lord, maybe our loved ones, Lord, that needs a touch from you, or Lord, maybe needs thy Holy Spirit to come down and, Lord, change their lives. Lord, we ask you to do that according to your perfect will. Lord, as we have needs tonight, Lord, we ask you to take care of them, Lord, according to your perfect will. Lord, we'll always give you the glory and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Song tonight, parents, as you come.
It's been several years since he brought it out, and we show him the life that he's talking about.
in every circumstance, every trial we face, on the job, in our homes, when we go someplace, where's the light? Where is that light? Where's the life that he said we'd be living today? Where's the people who will yield and let him have his way? Where's the light? Where is that light? Where's the heart that is burning with a firm and desire? Where's the cry to surrender and set us all on fire? Where's the light? It's a question that is facing every one of us today. Are we living that life, or are we running in vain? Where's the light? Where is the
stand, if you will, sing a little chorus, Only Believes, that's for Brother Nicole.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
Lord, I believe. Lord,
bow our heads. Gracious Lord, one more time you've given us to come, and how grateful we are, Lord, for this precious opportunity. And Lord, as we come tonight and together around your word, and Lord, as I will share the thoughts, Lord, you've imparted to my heart, and Lord, just to renew our minds to the scriptures and quotes that you've left for us. Lord, may in some way, by the Holy Spirit, you would just dip a little extra into our hearts where it's needed, and continue to prepare us, Lord, for the work that you have for us. Father, that we would be a people that would truly be a reflection of you in this hour. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon your word into our hearts, and we just ask you to have the preeminence of the remainder of this service now. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, are you happy to be here tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Another Thursday evening. Seems like it comes and it goes and it comes and it goes really quick anymore. But we thank God for an opportunity to come, and just thought just some things the Lord had laid upon my heart. It's not new, but I believe it's in tune with what our pastor's been bringing, and maybe it'll prepare our hearts a little more for if he continues with what he's on. And just asking the Lord to open our hearts, because it's just like everything, it all just continues to dovetail together. Amen. And may God just open our hearts. But while you're still standing, if you would,
We'll turn over to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Last Saturday evening, I had had a dream in the middle of the night, and it was just a dream, but it woke me up, and while I was awake, it was in the early hours of the morning, some scriptures came to my heart, and it just kind of was on my heart, and then our pastor brought the message Sunday, and it just kind of flows together, and I thought, you know, the Lord is dealing with our hearts. If we just open up and continue to yield to Him, and that's what it's about for each one of us tonight. You know, we're here together to look into God's Word this evening. It's just a little exhortation. Yes. But as I'm ministering to myself and sharing with you what's on my heart, praying that God will continue to build us up together in Him. Amen. Amen. But here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and let's read this start at the 42nd verse. This is very familiar. Jesus was speaking about the two in bed, one be taken, one be left. But he started here at the 42nd verse, and he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, who is his Lord, hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? But blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." May the Lord bless Remy's word, and you may be seated. As we see the time in which we're living, and you know, as our pastor's been ministering on the life and the fruits and how close it would be, And Brother Branham always said, just give it the word test. You know, if you want to know something and you see something, he made that comment. He said, just give it the word test. Well, tonight, and our pastor mentioned that as he brought those three little leaves there a Sunday or so ago. He said, we're going to take a little test this morning, you know, on those leaves. But I want you to think about it. Each time, you know, we're giving ourselves a word test when we come in here. We're measuring ourselves up, not by ourselves, but by God's precious word. And when you think of the things that have been left for us and some things that our pastor has re-brought back here over the last few services, just some different things have jumped out. But if you'll remember, when he was ministering on the seventh seal, and Brother Branham made this statement in the seventh seal, and it's just a little statement, and then our pastor showed a few other quotes to go with it. He mentioned it more than once, but just to kind of put our mind in the way of thinking. But this was in paragraph 358 of the seventh seal. He said, "Don't try to interpret things. Don't try to do anything more than just live a close life, giving praise and honor to Jesus Christ." Everybody understand now? He says, the congregation says amen. He says, and then love Him with all of your heart. Amen. And if you, just a small quotation, but how big it can really become when you stop and meditate on that for just a little bit. To live a close life. And to love Him with all of your heart. He is truly your first love. Amen. And how we've, down through the scriptures and times, we've seen the examples our prophet has given us. And I won't, well, you know, there's so much you could read to go along with this, but we're just going to kind of catch a few highlights as we go through. But let's turn over here to 2 Peter. This was the scripture that came to me that kind of got me thinking along this line. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, and all of these are very familiar. We've heard them all, we've read them and probably rehearsed them, but you know, I've ate steak every night for a long time too, and I never get tired of it. I sure am never going to get tired of God's word. It's so much more precious than a natural food. Amen. But here in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, and we'll just start here about the 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, or to be like God? Amen. That's a close life. To be like God, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. And as we'll drop on down here, and he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord and salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according in his wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do also other scriptures unto their destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So even Peter, as he's seeing this, be diligent. And how it's just, I want you to just kind of let these things think as our, we'll read a couple things that the prophet said, but even as the prophet was keep mentioning, live that close life, to watch. It's a fruit time. And you know, we'll turn back over here to 1 Peter, the first chapter, 1 Peter and 1, and catch what Peter was saying here. And then 1 Peter 1 and 13. So, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. That godly fear we spoke about a few services ago. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And how did you, why don't you just think about Peter as he, it was both places as he was writing, you know, that was that be diligent, be fervent, yes. and to make sure that we love one another as Christ has loved us, you know. And he mentioned those things. And the prophet, when he was here, he made this statement in the Thyatirian church age. It's right at the end of the chapter. It was in chapter 6, I believe, in this church age book. But just to keep this in mind as we think about this is, you know, God is looking for this life to be lived out, his life, a reproduction of himself. And how it's in here, and how we should live so close, a godly life, as the prophet expressed, and Paul expresses, as we'll read some more. But think about, Brother Branham says it like this, and you've heard this many times, he says, God looketh on the heart. That has never changed, neither will it ever change. Here is through all ages, there are two groups, both proclaiming their revelation from God and their relationship to God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, 2 Timothy 2 and 19, and the Lord searcheth the reins. The word search means track or follow up. God tracks down our thoughts, our reins, and he knows what is in our hearts. He sees our works, which are definite manifestation of what lies within us. And it is out of the heart that proceedeth either righteousness or wickedness. Our motives, our purposes, all are known unto him as he watches every action. Manifestation of what lies within us. It's out of the heart that proceeds either righteousness or wickedness. Our motives, our purposes are all known to him as he watches every action, and every action and every word shall be brought into judgment when the accounting for our lives is given. There was no fear of God before the false vine, and dearly shall they pay. But let all who name the name his name so live as become as saints. We might fool people, but we will never fool the Lord. Amen. And how that ought to truly put us into that place of that diligently searching and looking. What is, I maybe have claimed to be a Christian for a long time. Maybe I've been coming to church for a long time. But have I truly, fully surrendered everything about me? Every ambition, every action, have I given it all over to Jesus Christ? Is my sole purpose in this life to be his representative, to live and to let him have his way and to express himself through this body out to others? You know, Brother Branham in the message, this was in the message of the prisoner, our pastor mentioned us reading it. But just to catch what he's saying here, and then we'll read some things the Apostle Paul said. But this was in a prisoner, this was preached July 1763, in paragraph 50. He says, he was talking about Adam and Eve being on a, he was where he had started to put them on a free moral basis. They had the right to choose. And about paragraph 51, he says, as I just expressed, if your light will prove, your life will prove exactly what side you're on. I don't care what side you say you're on. What you do every day proves what you are. You've heard the old saying, your life is so loud, I can't hear your testimony. Your actions is so loud. And I've always believed in shouting and jumping, but I've always said, don't jump no higher than you live, because the world is going to watch that, you see. And you must jump as high as you live, so because somebody is watching you. People won't come to church. They, many of them, just won't do it. And some of them not coming is sincere people. They've seen so much corruption in the church until they don't want to have anything to do with it. And many times we're speaking on a flat thought of that, and you can hardly blame them. See, because of the way people act, they call themselves Christians. They're the greatest stumbling block the world has got. Is the man or woman who professes to be a Christian and lives something different from their profession exactly right? Now, for the disappointments will come at judgment. And the sinner, the bootlegger, the gambler, the adulteress, he won't be disappointed to hear his sentence read to depart into everlasting fire. He won't be disappointed. But that fella who is trying to hide himself behind some kind of a church profession, that is the boy that's going to be disappointed at the day of judgment. That professed to be a Christian and live some other way, it'd be better for him that he never did even make any kind of profession and started off than to start and to live something different, because he's the greatest stumbling block we got. It's for the professor that says he's a Christian and lives something different. And Brother Branham says, always don't judge your life by how much power you have to perform miracles. Our pastor mentioned this. And we don't judge ourselves by how much knowledge you have of the word. But always judge yourself. Look back and take inventory of what kind of fruit the life you presently live is now bearing. See? Amen. And you know, as you think about that, there's a whole lot of life here for us to look back upon. Yeah. And to take inventory. And you know, as you think about these things, and sometimes we've heard the Bible, we've been raised up reading the Bible, many of us. We've heard these things, and we have attended church. But you know, there's so many people attending church today all over the world that their religion is based upon, as long as their church feels they're a good Christian, they're happy and content to be satisfied with that. They've never taken the time to truly take inventory of themselves and to sit down and say, where do I measure up? What does this word say? And where's the short places in my own life? And as we read these things and we meditate upon it, it's not like, oh, you're doing this and I'm doing it's. But take God's word, and we search our lives. I believe with all my heart God has called me to this purpose, to serve him and to live for him and to honor him with my life. And you feel the same way, or you wouldn't be sitting here. And as we come underneath that anointing of the Holy Spirit, these things were written for our admonition. And as we come in and study and let the Holy Spirit every time truly take it to heart, It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, just sitting here saying, Lord, do I match that scripture? Is that prominent in my life? Do I see this action declaring you and manifesting out? You know, in every dealings we have with others, is everything we do, is it honest in the sight of all men? Is there any chance to be condemned for my dealings were a little bit shady? You know, there's, and I'm just kind of referencing a couple things because there's a lot in here. As children, am I truly obedient to my parents? As a husband, am I truly loving my wife? Am I providing for my family? In all the different scriptures, the Apostle Paul mentioned many. But if you want to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter with me, we'll just catch a couple things that's very familiar. I think Romans 12 is the Apostle Paul, when he penned this by the Holy Spirit, it just seems like it just speaks so abundantly. But Romans 12, we'll just start at that first verse. But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you know, sometimes that is, that scripture alone, as Paul was able to say that, and how it just seems to be human nature for humility to really be lacking in the human world. Our attitude, and as we learn and as we become good at something that we do, it just seems like the human nature has a way of just puffing itself up to a degree of, I know the answers. You know, and every day, I'm sure, everybody has a different line of work, but you will always come in contact with somebody that doesn't have a clue, doesn't understand how something that you're doing works, but they think they do, and they're going to tell you all about how they could do it better than you. And it's just their puffed up way. And you know, even as the Holy Spirit divides unto us revelation and imparts it to us in understanding, and Paul being able, with the great understanding he had after 3.5 years in Arabia, and to be able to say there and say, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. And, you know, you see it. I've been preaching this gospel for 60 years. I know the answers. You know, and it can happen to us, even though we're not preachers. We can let our minds come to that place. I've served God for 20 years. I know all about it. And we've heard it. But is it alive and living and manifesting by itself, that life of Christ back through us? And that's what Paul could truly see. That's what was recorded. And the things that were written here, how true it is as we take inventory of all of the little things, we might call it. And you know, sometimes it's easy to forget those little things. And maybe we just think that's just a church idea. That's just the way they think about it, or so-and-so thinks about it like this. But have we really went back and searched it to make sure, is that just the right idea, or does that really line up? And that's what God thinks about it. You know, it's so easy to assume that, oh, that's just their feelings about it. That's why they feel the way they do. But maybe God has imparted an understanding to someone, maybe to you, not to me. And maybe I'm short on something and I need a revelation. But if I get myself up where I don't think there's any help for me, I've got it all. I'll never get anything from God. But as Paul said, but to think humbly as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. May we truly keep that in our hearts. Amen. I'm going to drop on down to the verse 9. And he says here, and let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer, and distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And just, Paul is only repeating what Jesus had already spoke when he was here. If you just see the mirror of the message, it hasn't changed. It's the same today as it was then. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You go and look through the prophet's message, you'll see the same tone carry right through, because it all started right there. Rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits. And recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as we think about just the Paul's life, and these are so many, as you go through Colossians and Galatians and Thessalonians and the book of Timothy and into Titus, and there's just so much as Paul was pouring out his heart and writing to these different churches at the time, making sure that it would be stored up, that we would have an ability to have it renewed to our minds. And refresh how we should truly take the time to go back and search through these things. Let's go over to Titus, the second chapter. I've got that wrote down here. Let's see. He's speaking to the church here, but Titus, the second chapter, and let's just start at the first verse. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in love, and in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. I think soberly, you can use the same word as closely, in that if you think about it in a sense, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. Zealous to be pleasing, a passion to know his will. Amen. These things speed and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. Amen. And you could go on. But they just kind of give you an idea of, look at the writings and the things that we have here to measure ourselves up by. Yeah. And there wasn't none of us left out, from young, old, to middle-aged. There's something in there for every one of us. And how we truly, as the prophet spoke of, watching and loving one another, as he told us in the Christ is the mystery of God revealed, as he began to minister at the very beginning. I think I've got it here. We have it back there on the back, a letter to the church, so is what we titled it back there. But this was in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But just listen to these things as the prophet was just exhorting a little bit before he started to bring his message. And he says, love one another above everything. Love one another. And no matter what the devil tries to say. Now, you're all one great big sweet group now, but remember my warning. Satan won't let it stay that way. No, sir, he'll shoot everything. He has to bring somebody in to make his target. He'll bring some critic or unbeliever in, sit them down, and cause them to fellowship with you. under the quietness and things, and then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it. Don't take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving, sweet, and kind to one another. And listen, it is his approach here, and pray for that man. Sometimes I wonder how quick we are to truly pray for an enemy, or to pray for someone that we feel has wronged us just a little bit, or maybe we just have a little bit of ill feeling against. Can I truly match the word and say that I am truly praying for those that maybe have done ill against me, despitefully used me, as Jesus said, or even persecuted me? Can I still truthfully go to prayer and ask the Lord to save that person, to depart to them what they have need of? You know, it's just something to ask ourselves as individuals. And just to, am I truly feeling, do I feel that burden? You know, it's, we go to church, but do we realize time is winding down and the days are getting shorter? There's not much time left. And I know he won't lose none of his own. But what if you are the tool that he's going to use to bring someone in right at the last moment? Are we in tune with the Spirit as Paul was in tune with the Spirit? And as the prophet was in tune with the Spirit to be used by God to fulfill his word? Or do we still have too much of our own personal feelings in it, or our own personal desires and wants and ambitions of how we would perceive it or look at it? But, oh, he looked at things so much differently. And all the examples, if you look at the little woman at the well, you look at the little woman that come and washed his feet, look at the approach, look at where it was, but how it's so easy for us to fall into the same category that those Pharisees and Sadducees were in, and thinking they had forgot their humility and they were a little bit too puffed up. But oh, may we be a people that is truly realizing it's only by his grace and mercy that I have what I have, and if God by his grace could impart, use me to impart that to someone else, may I truly be in that place that I could truly, not begrudgingly, Lord, I ask you to help that brother, but Lord, help that brother, that sister, move upon their heart, give them what they have need of. Lord, it would come from inside, reaching out with a love and a compassion to that person. Hallelujah. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, whoever it is, just pray for them and stick one with another. Stay with your pastor, see he's the shepherd, and give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. Now, do you remember that? The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among one or talk and make yourself clannish. We are one. I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you, and I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another and right at it with one another. Amen. And he says, you've got the tapes on that. You've got the tapes on what we believe. You've got the tapes on discipline in the church and how we behave ourselves in the church of God and how we've got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder. Get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to pray. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to much more, as we see that day approaching, to love one another with a Christian love and a divine love, and to assemble ourselves in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. And this will all men know you are my disciples, when you have love one for the other. That's right, stay right together. Yeah. And if the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't never let me have a root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him. Yeah. It'll take Christ right out of my life. Yeah. And that poison acids of malice, jealousy, and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you, and it will run him from the tabernacle here. And it will kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together. Draw up. Take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seeing it in a vision. that just buckles on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on, tighten up, and move right up close to one another. Yes. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. Amen. Amen. And, you know, we each one could take just that and sit down and meditate for a while and just make sure, Lord, if I matched what he told me to do. And that living close to God, that's just my brother. That's just my sister. That's just my wife. That's just my husband. What about the reverence one to another as you realize this is the bride of Jesus Christ? That wherever that little body of believers is that you're coming in contact with, you're fellowshipping with a part of God. You're dealing with a part of God. And do we truly realize that as we show love one to another, we're showing it to him? And when you think about, you know, I think of our prophet as he went beyond the curtain of time and he expressed it. How that, we're, he said death wouldn't change us. What we are here is what we will be there. Yeah. So do I truly have a love this strong here that binds me to my brothers and my sisters, to my husband, to my wife, to my children, to my parents, a respect, a reverence? It's just, have you thought about that much? Amen, that what our life is here, what our love is for one another. Yes, it'll be different there because we understand there won't be no sex glands and all that over there. But even now, the fervent love one to another, a godly love to respect and to reverence, is it truly burning in our hearts? Or because we're a little different from each other every now and then, we do things sometimes a little different. Brother Kevin might like to eat butter on his bread, and I don't want no butter on my bread. That don't make him wrong, don't make me wrong. But does that make me want to belittle him because he does something that I don't do? Or he does it different than I do? Do we stop to think about what manner of person we ought to be in all holy conversation? And every word that spoke, is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? Or is it tearing someone down or belittling someone? Every word has power, and you know, I've been guilty of telling my children that. And sometimes they've had to turn around and say, you remember what you told us? And yep, I was wrong. Yeah. So it does good to look at our lives and to take stock and to measure. Yes. And to say, Lord, am I truly a written epistle read of all men? Do I match that scripture? And if I don't, then Lord, give me the strength and the grace to climb. Amen. And to cry out to you for revelation that would impart to my heart that I would be more conformed to the image of your Son. Yes. That the very life that Jesus Christ would be made manifest, yes, in this mortal flesh. Amen. I pray these things are becoming more of a reality to us as we hear more and more and see, as we see the reality as being lost in so many. Yes. So many has become content to be churchgoers. Yes. You know, you look at the Pentecostal denomination. As they came on with the restoration of the gifts, the original movement. But how, as it's went on and on, they lost sight and focus of the word and were just happy to live on the excitement that they had in the speaking in tongues and the hyped up music. They missed the light that kept moving and the growing of the word. And you know, sometimes it's the same. This message will never become a denomination. The true bride will never become a denomination. But the people have become content to just fellowship around the thought, a prophet came. We've had a prophet. We believe a prophet. But they failed to realize that that prophet was trying to introduce them to their bridegroom. Yeah. And oh, he was coming back to take a bride home that was flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones, word upon word of what she was going to be to match that. And oh my, this is the age for that life to be truly reproduced. Yes. And for a people to be able to see, I am identified in the pages. Think of all the messages the prophet brought on identification. And all of it down through the line. But let's not push it out somewhere else. But let's bring it in as individuals. And say, Lord, where do I truly measure up with this? Let me in all humility consider myself, Lord. And the word that's laying before us and all that's laying here and the many things that we have, is this life truly becoming evident in me? Is that fruit truly beginning to ripen and it's showing forth that life that's inside? Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This was in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed in just about paragraph 461. He says, listen closely now again as we go on, going back to the original Eden. Then when we're born of him, we're filled with him. See, your life, his life is in you. Then all our actions should declare him. Like taking the life out of one tree and putting it into another. Take the life out of a pear tree, put it in an apple tree. It'll bear pears. It's got to. Because the sap and the life in it, the germ is in the pear tree, all right? Then all of our actions should declare him. We have his name. Is that right? We should bear his name. And remember, we are now as his bride, pregnated by his spirit. Oh my, the church bearing children, see? Pregnated by his spirit with his name, and bearing his life. Bringing forth the signs of his life, evident with the preeminence, evidence of his resurrection, showing that he is not dead, but alive forevermore. And this is eternal life vindicated, and it vindicates to the world that we are alive in him. Woo, he says. How do you know? Because you're a church member? Because Christ is living through you, so pregnated with his spirit that you're a prisoner to anything else. You're confined, oh my, to the gospel, confined to the word, and all the children that you can bring forth is that, because you're a prisoner. And oh my, maybe that word truly, that gospel, not just because I'm a church member, but because the gospel is truly being lived out through us. Amen. I pray that these things will just continue to dwell in our hearts. And maybe we'll, you know, as I said, it's not a jumping, screaming message. And it may not be too exciting to some. But as you stop and realize where we're standing. Yes. And you know, it's like I said, when you know you're getting ready to take a train ride. And if the line is 400 people long and it's just crowds everywhere. And oh my, you got a luggage in this hand, or maybe you're getting on an airplane. But as long as you know you've got that ticket in your hand. And as long as you don't worry about the crowds around you, you got one mind, you got your ticket, and you're just looking to get on board. And that is what we're doing today. We're making sure that our ticket is in our hand, and it's good for the ride we're looking for. And I'm not looking around. I'm not worried about everyone else. I'm worried about myself to make sure that I'm on board when she's ready to roll out of the station. And by God's grace, I pray that's becoming the desire of each of our hearts. As Lord, let this world grow strangely dim. And the things of this life, realize it's only temporal. We might be young, old, middle-aged. We've all got daily chores and things to take care of. But let's keep our focus on the goal. Yes, amen. And looking at what God has for us. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Been a while since we sang it, but let's sing that little chorus. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. As we ask our pastor to come. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. Watching both day and night, keeping my record right. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl, watching both day and night, keeping my record right. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. Watching both day and night, keeping my record right. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. We ought to appreciate those precious words tonight. Amen. It's so living and so real. And I trust it'll be more real in each and every one of our hearts as we see what God is doing and what he's looking for now, just before the rapture. Knowing it is that age of life. And my mind keeps going back constantly to what the prophet said in the token about that life. That token on display gives you that assurance. And so many people need that assurance. They're just not sure.
just wondering, you know, but if you see that life on display, see Christ living through you, everything's going to be all right. Amen. It's like the little song was saying, everything's going to be all right, you know, if you see Christ living in you. So just keep praying, and I trust that. I see Brother Timothy's been reading Christ, Mr. God Revealed, Paul Prisoner. So I hope we all are. Amen. And paying attention to what the prophet is saying. And watch the Holy Spirit gel it together in your heart. If you're calling on Him for revelation, amen. Make it more real to you that He can have that greater presence in our lives. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank You very much for this little opportunity tonight to be here. Lord, and I've thought many different times, Lord, about how it's just a small little church here, Lord. A small amount of people comparing to many places throughout the land. But Father, numbers don't mean anything with You. Father, it's what's on the inside of the individual and what's real in their life. Lord, how the Word of God is being applied in our life. But then I think many times, as I said, Lord, of how many times when You walked this earth, and as You walked the shores of Galilee, walked through Nazareth and all the different places, especially starting out, Father, as the prophet mentioned, the church that You had was only 12 people, and one was of the devil. And Father, and we think, Lord, maybe sometimes some people were bothered. Maybe kind of the way they say things. It bothers them because maybe there's not a lot of people here. But Father, if we only realized, it doesn't make any difference. But Lord Jesus, it's whether You are here or not. And whether You meet with us and whether Your election is here. And we know it's just going to be a handful. It's just some places, Lord, have more fillers. But Father, we want more genuine here than fillers. We ask that You would just bless us, Lord, and let that, Lord, we call it the letter to the church, and Brother Timothy mentioned it again tonight, how Christ and Mr. God revealed. May that be, Lord, something that keeps us gelled together in reality of really what You're doing. So we ask that You would bless us now as we part from this little place, and may we stay in the Word, Lord. Keep us in that Word. And Father, let us not swerve to the right or left, but Lord, stay right in the center of the road, Lord, and right on the will, perfect will of God, and let You just have control. And You be the one guiding this ship, Lord. And Father, we know as long as You're the one guiding this ship, regardless of what storms come along, You'll know exactly what to do and how to do it. And all we got to do is, Lord, be the passenger and let You take care of it. So we ask that You would bless us now. Keep Your hand upon us as we travel on the highways. And bring us back, Lord, again the next appointed time. If You should tarry, and Lord, may each one of us come calling upon You. And let You speak to our hearts through the Word. We thank You for the message tonight. May it be blessed into our hearts. It's all now through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. This little song has been on my heart today, and I just want to sing it, I guess, in honor to Him. It's not a big song, but I trust we'll all sing it from the depth of our heart. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Do you appreciate Him? Oh, my, we ought to appreciate Him more and more every day. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. I love You, adore You. God bless you. You're all dismissed.